Good morning, church. Welcome to Church at the Park. This is the first time I believe we've ever had six churches gathering together for worship. So this is an uncommon thing, guys. This is really, really cool. I'm Pastor Nate from Cornerstone. We got Cornerstone here. We got Grace Church here. We got Fleetwood Bible Church here. And these guys are Fleetwood Bible. Thank you, Fleetwood Bible. We got Church on the Hill here. Pastor Steve's going to bring the message in a little bit. We got Kutztown Bible Fellowship Church here. And I think, is that five? Did I say five? There's one more for the very first time. We got Lighthouse Community Church. All right. So it's just so good to see God's church coming together. So welcome to this morning. Welcome to this time. I was in 1 Peter chapter 3 this morning, and it's a place where it says, always be ready. Always ready. No matter what happens, to give an answer for the hope that you have. What is the hope that we have? It's the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, right? That's what brings us together. We're not just churches that we believe kind of whatever. We are together. We are unified under Jesus Christ, the resurrection from the dead. Our King, He is powerful and He is gentle. And we're here to lift up His name. We're here to praise His name, and we want the town to hear it. So let's lift it up for Jesus. Let's sing and give praise to Him. He is worthy. Amen? All right. Rise to your feet. Let's sing.
I believe there is one salvation, one doorway that leads to life, one redemption, one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe in the crucifixion, by His blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection, hallelujah, His life is destined for me. All praise to God the Father, all praise to Christ the Son, all praise to the Holy Spirit, our God has overcome. The King who was and is and ever. A place for me, far beyond what hearts imagine, ears have heard or eyes have seen. I believe that day is coming, He's preparing to claim His bride. Light the altar, keep it burning, see the Lamb who rose a roaring light. All praise to God the Father. Be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away from the one who saved my life? No, I will never be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How could I ever walk away? Jesus Christ, how could I ever walk away from the one who God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe. All praise to God our Father. And all praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. Our God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe. In Jesus' mighty name, I believe. I believe, I believe.
Amen. It is a joy to be able to worship with all of you this morning and proclaim the goodness and the kindness and the authority and power, the sovereignty of our King, Jesus Christ. He is the reason why we are gathered here today. I joke a lot in our church. Our lead pastor is unfortunately a great man, but not perfect. He's a Mets fan. Thank you. And I am not. I am a Phillies fan, and I always say only in the body of Christ will a Mets fan and a Phillies fan be able to join together in one accord. And look, I know this is a superficial difference compared to the many differences that we might have in this country and as one in this community even. But the fact that we are all united, not because we like the same things or because we believe all the same details, although we are united in the essentials as we sang this morning. The fact that we are united, or the thing that unites us, is an understanding that Jesus is King. That Jesus is Lord. He is the reason why we gather here today. Only in Christianity will a man born in Puerto Rico be able to serve alongside people here in Pennsylvania, Berks County, where Spanish speakers and Pennsylvania Dutch speakers can come together under one banner, under one sovereign rule, the ruling of Jesus Christ. Amen? So with that in mind, let's continue worshiping the Lord.
To
is worthy of all praise. He is worthy of all glory. He deserves far more than we could ever give to him. But this morning we get to at least give a little bit of the goodness and of all the things that he has done for us. Amen. With that in mind, let's continue worshiping our Lord.
Creation cries.
Thank you, Lord, for the fact that we are able to stand here and proclaim your glory to all who are around us. We thank you for your holiness, Father. We thank you for your goodness. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to minister to our hearts as we listen to your word, as we continue through this service and even beyond, Lord. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are you glad to be here today? Is it good to be together, right? It is so good to lift up the name of Jesus at six churches, and maybe there's some other churches here too. You saw the sign and came on it, but we are so glad that you are here. We are going to, you all sat down, okay, that's all right. I am going to ask you to stand up again though, so just telling you, you can get your groan out right now. We are going to dismiss the kids, grades fourth grade and under. There are special classes for them. The ages 4 to 4th grade are going to head across the playground to the pavilion over there on our left, if you head out that way. There's a nursery for 0 to 3 over here in the Scooter building, and there should be one representative from each church that has nursery kids should be over there, so your little one should recognize somebody there. And we do ask that all parents who have kids going to children's church go with them, sign them in so you can get them back out. If you don't sign them in, we're keeping them, okay? I haven't figured out who's keeping them, but that's how it's going to work. Sign them in, sign them out, so no one gets lost or abducted. Thank you. In the meantime, while kids are doing that and parents are heading back there, we have a question of the day to get you guys to interact with each other. So we're going to ask you to stand up and address this question. What is a valuable lesson you've learned from a previous generation? A valuable lesson from the previous generation. I'm thinking about my dad. He was never ashamed of the gospel. He was always sharing Jesus. I was ashamed of the gospel as a kid. I was not cool with being a pastor's kid and all that. And I am not ashamed anymore. So I learned that from my dad. Even though I didn't really like that about my dad, I'm thankful for him. And he's on a cruise right now, so he's going to watch this later. So Dad, thank you for that. Everybody else stand up. What is a lesson you learned from a previous generation? Rise to your feet. Doesn't matter how old you are, you can answer this question. All right. Well, I'm going to introduce to you, some of you have met him in the past, some of you maybe have not, but Steve Winters, he's the pastor at Church on the Hill, and he has been there for many, many years. I appreciate Steve's longevity and persistence. I thank God for there are some pastors in this community that have just stuck it out for decades. Pastor Al back here, how many years have you been in the church, brother? 47 years, okay? All right. I'm so thankful for that. So, Steve, come on up and bring the word to us.
We have that good of a grasp on. And today, before it's all said and done, I hope that we'll have a fantastic grasp on this. This is, as I said, found in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'll be reading to you from the Christian Standard Bible. This is verse number 18. We all, that's all of us, right? We all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Let us pray. Father, as we just pause for a moment here before we go on talking about what's in your word, we ask, Lord God, that you would open our hearts and minds. We ask, Lord God, that you would, by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit within us, give us ears that hear and hearts that understand. Give us, Lord God, feet that walk in the ways of the word. Now we pray, Lord God, you'll bless my lips to speak. And we pray, Lord God, you'll bless each and every one of our ears to hear. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we start looking at this text, I would just like to share with you this thought God has big plans for us. Whoever you are, whatever has been your experience up to this point in time, wherever you have come from whatever you've come from, this is true. It's true for each and every one of you, each and every one of us. This is true for God has very big plans for us. These plans are very near and dear to Him. These were plans that were laid out before the very foundation of time. These are plans that govern our futures. Paul mentions those plans in the book of Romans chapter 8 when he writes that God predestined those He foreknew to be conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn amongst many brothers and sisters. Now, that gets right to the heart of what's in the heart of God. If you ever wonder why you're here, if you ever wonder why everything is that is, it really does come down to this. It was God's plan to create a family, a whole host of brothers and sisters that would look just like Jesus. That is the ultimate plan of God in creation. John reiterates this thought in his first epistle when he, although in slightly different terms, tells us is that even though we are God's children now, when Jesus appears, we're going to be just like Him. This is the aim of God. This is the ultimate aim of the gospel. This is why Jesus came. This is why He rose from the dead. This is why He's come into your life. Ultimately, God's aim is to create a family of human beings, sons and daughters, who look just like Jesus. Just as Adam was made in the image of God, according to God's ultimate plan and expressive of His ultimate aim, all of those of us who trust in Jesus and follow Him are being made into the image of Jesus. What God demonstrated and started in the book of Genesis, even in chapter 1 already at the very beginning, God will end up demonstrating, proving, and bringing to fulfillment at the end when all of us, in perfection, will be made into the very image of Jesus. We'll see Him as He is, and we will be just like Him. Now, if that's true, and it is, how many of you believe that's true? A few of you. Hopefully, by the time I'm throwing words at you, you'll all believe it's true. It's true. This is the very purpose, the very point. In fact, I would say it's the singular point of creation. If you ever want to know why God made all of this, this is the ultimate reason. But it leads me, when I think about this, and that's an awesome and very profound thought, I think, it leads me to question myself, but it also leads me to question the general experience of believers in Christ. And I end up asking myself, if all of this is true, why is it that we don't look more like Jesus? Our text tells us that this transformation comes via the Lord, who is the Spirit. And so, not only does the Bible teach us about God's ultimate aim in this transformation after the image of Christ, but the Bible also tells us the means by which it happens. It happens through the Spirit. The Bible makes it clear that this transformation is not something that we produce. It's not something that we could produce. This is something that comes from the heart of God, that is in His purpose and desire. This is something that He expresses through us by putting His Spirit into our lives. It's that same Spirit by which we're born again. Jesus said, we must be born again. Why? Well, because of this aim. We need the Spirit of God within us. We need to be born of the Spirit. It's that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead and who dwells in us. It's that same Spirit who is God and who has big plans for us. That God who has a preeminent purpose in creation of having a slew of children who look just like Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us all creation is groaning for this very thing to come to pass. I mean, think about that. It means as you look out and we see all kinds of beautiful creation, it's kind of nice to be out here in the great outdoors. The trees are groaning. The grass blades are groaning. The ground under our feet is groaning. In fact, if you look out at the heavens and, you know, with the daylight, you don't really see much more than blue. But if you look out at the heavens at the farthest extent that you can possibly look, all of that is groaning. What's it groaning for? It's groaning for the revelation of the sons of God. It's groaning for God's purpose to come to its completion and fulfillment. That purpose of making a family of human beings that look just like Jesus. It is God's fondest desire, it's God's very will, it's God's aim and purpose that we should look like Jesus. And so I fall back to that question I asked just a little bit ago. Why is it that we don't look more like Jesus? Could the fault somehow be God's? We're going to explore this for a second, right? The purpose, the reasons, the whys, the possibilities. Why is it that we don't look like Jesus? Could the fault be in God? It's not something, certainly, that the Holy Spirit can achieve in us, without us. But certainly you would think, right? I think we would all think that the Holy Spirit in us would be sufficient to cause this, that it's sufficient to achieve this. I would think that the Spirit that God has given us, this Spirit that is the source of this transformation, certainly would appear to me, it would seem logical and sensible that this Spirit would be more than sufficient to accomplish God's desire and aim. I'm not willing to even think that the fault would lie with God in us not looking more like Jesus. The fault must lie in us. It must lie in us who are not manifesting the transforming power of the Holy Spirit within us. Perhaps we don't know about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe we just don't have any idea how the Holy Spirit works within us. Let's see if we can make some of that more clear. When we are born again, God puts His Spirit within us. It makes us a new creation, as the Bible says. If you were born again, God's Spirit is in you. God, when you're born again, puts His Holy Spirit in you. And something that was not possible in your life before now is possible. I mean, to be like Jesus, to look like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, to respond to God like Jesus, that's not something that's native in a human being. That's not something that we can do in the natural. It's an impossibility. But with the Holy Spirit in us, everything becomes possible. It becomes possible for us to be transformed. It becomes possible for us to look more like Jesus. My reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 3 tells me that if a person actually confesses, if a person can actually say, and I think that the implication is that they say this actually believing it, but if a person can say that Jesus is Lord, there's no way that a person can do that apart from the Holy Spirit. So let me ask you, Do you say that Jesus is Lord? Do you really mean it in your heart? Is it something that you actually believe? If that's the case, and you say Jesus is Lord, what is that a marker of? What is that a sign of? It's a sign that the Holy Spirit is in you. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, in chapter 10, that being saved is about understanding that Jesus was raised from the dead for our justification, believing that, and confessing that Jesus is Lord. When you kind of put those thoughts together with some of the thoughts we are talking about now, you can understand how that confession of Jesus is Lord is a way that really reveals something that the book of Ephesians would call the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have done that, I mean, if you have come to terms in your mind and have believed in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, and in that belief, in that trust in your heart, you've confessed that he's Lord, there's no doubt in my mind that you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is in you, that the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in you, that his person, the very person of God, is now in your person. What a thought. Can you imagine that? It's not that I have to walk around in just the person that I am on my own or in my natural. It's not like I have to try to walk around and make that somehow or another live up to the high calling of God. It's not like I have to somehow or another find the impossibility of natural flesh actually being transformed into the image of Christ. It's not like God has assigned that to me as a mission that I'm set out, you know, like a secret agent going out to accomplish by wit. No, Jesus has given us this gift of the Holy Spirit so that we can be the children of God. And so the very thing that empowers our transformation is within us. It's within us, and it's there, and it's available to us. And the Holy Spirit is expressing himself through our person, his person in our person. So if we're going to be like Jesus, it seems to me like we have to understand what it means that the Spirit of God is dwelling in us. Do you feel like you understand what it means that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you? Wave a hand at me. Praise the Lord. Now, at some point after that kind of initiating experience, we're going to have to start wanting what the Heavenly Father wants. I mean, this gets to the very heart and soul of what it means to be in the image of Christ. If you're going to be a child of God who looks like Jesus, it means that you're going to have to want the things that Jesus wants. Right? You're going to have to do the things that Jesus does. You're going to have to interact with people the way that Jesus interacts with people. You're going to have the priorities that Jesus has as priorities. I mean, if you're going to be transformed into the image of Christ, if you're going to make progress in that particular endeavor, seriously, those kinds of things have got to start occurring in our lives. There needs to be within us something that is actually moving in cooperation and maybe we could say in synchronicity with the Holy Spirit living in our person. At some point, we're going to have to be dedicated to the Father's will, like Jesus was dedicated to the Father's will. At some point, we're going to have to love people like Jesus loved people. And if these things are not true of us, at least if they're not true in some kind of a manifesting way, a way that is in the process and in progress of making itself known, then, you know, I think that we all are stuck looking in the mirror and scratching our heads maybe with frustration, maybe even a little disgust, and saying, why don't I look more like Jesus? His person, in our person, is what makes our person look like His person. This is the Holy Spirit within us. His person does not live in us to take our place. I think sometimes we think that. We think that some kind of mystical, magical, almost incredibly powerful experience will come upon us and God will take over us and make us like sock puppets. That somehow or another, this is the way that the Holy Spirit works and the way that we get transformed, the way that we begin to look more like Jesus. But that's not it at all. God made you a person. That's His will for you. That was His will in Adam, and it's been His will for every human being since Adam, and it's His will for all of us in Christ. God doesn't want you to give up your person. He wants you to let His Holy Spirit dwell in your person. He wants to put into your person the thing that will make your person look like the person of God. And so that is what being born again is all about. And if we're born again, there's really no reason that we can't start looking more like Jesus. I mean, if we're born again, we have the sufficiency in the Holy Spirit dwelling within us to pull this off. We have all the things necessary from God for this progress to be made. We have everything that is possible. I'm telling you this, God cannot give you anything more powerful than Himself. And that's what He's done in putting the Holy Spirit inside of us. And so if we don't look more like Jesus, boy, I tell you, brings us to some questions that we need to ask ourselves that are maybe really difficult questions to hear. For instance, you know, we have to wonder, if I'm not growing in my transformation, if I don't see progress being made in my life, and let's face it, the Bible tells us this is a process. This is something that begins in time and moves through it and improves and grows. If this is not my experience, if this is not the testimony of my life, that I'm growing, that I'm transforming, that I'm progressing, why could that be, or why is that? Maybe it's because I'm not open to it. You know, I've been around this area. I know there's a lot of people that are just really closed off. I don't know that that's particularly a quality of this area, but I think that it is a quality of the people in this area in some respect. We're not open. We're closed off. We are carefully keeping God penned into the little compartments that we've made for Him in our lives. Maybe we give Him a little bit of our time, like coming to church on a Sunday, or maybe we give Him a little bit of time here or there in other ways, but you know, as far as the rest of our lives, that's us doing what we want to do. Maybe we're not open to the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Maybe it is that we're not counting on it. I mean, part of this mystery of faith is about the ability to count on what you don't see. You know, this thing that we call faith is this capacity that we have in Christ to embrace what we don't see how it can possibly happen. When we don't understand the power, where it would come from or what it would get, faith is about counting on things. Things that are above and beyond us. Things that are more powerful than us. Faith is about counting on God. Maybe the reason we don't look more like Jesus is that we just have had such a weak faith interaction with the promise of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Maybe it's that in that weakness of faith, we're just not really counting on the Holy Spirit to pull it off within us and to cause it to happen and to grow and to progress within us. Maybe it's that we're not counting on it. Maybe we're not acting on it. I mean, how many times have you had a good thought go through your mind and thought, "Ah, man, I should do that," and then a moment later, "Nah," and you go do something else. Have you ever had that experience? It's so easy to move from the thing that we ought to the thing that we shouldn't. It's so easy just to move from one thing to another and discount what we leave behind. Maybe the problem in us not looking more like Jesus is that we're just not acting on the reality of the Holy Spirit within us. Now, I've got to tell you this, that, as I mentioned before, the Holy Spirit's not interested in making you a puppet. The Holy Spirit is interested in bringing the very nature of God to bear on your nature so that you can experience life like He does. Do you understand that the reason that you're made in God's image is so that you can live like Him? You can live in some respects on His level. Now, we know that He is divine and will never live on that level, but there is no reason that we can't live on the level of being a reflection, the very reflection of His person, being in His image. Maybe, and I hope this isn't the case, maybe we just don't care. That's an awful thought to think, but you know, I've been around the kingdom of God for a long time, and I got to tell you, I've run into my share of Christians through all those years that just don't seem to care. They just don't care about being like Jesus. They just don't care about making progress in the things of God. They just don't care about the thing that, my goodness, if you understand what God cares about, the thing you ought to care about. I mean, this is the whole point in God's creation, that you and I and everyone who believes in Jesus would be transformed into His very image. This drives the very heart of God. And to think that we don't care about it, to think that we could just ignore it, to think that we could toss it aside like it's day-old fish. Does that make sense to you? It certainly doesn't make any sense to me. The point of everything is just this, that Jesus would be the second Adam. The point of everything is this, that having birthed this second Adam, having birthed a multitude of God's children who look just like Him, not physically, not all of us are going to wear a beard. I don't know how tall He was, but it would be nice to be a little taller. It would be nice maybe if some of the physicality would be so, but it's not. That's not the point of being in the image of God. It's about character. It's about person. It's about the makeup of your person. And this is what everything is here for. And what Jesus has done is He's given us the Holy Spirit, not just as a seal guaranteeing what is to come. That certainly is the case. But He's given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as a down payment of the perfection to come, which means that right now, because Jesus is who he is, that his heart is for the things that his heart is for, and because he looks upon you with a vision that says, this one is going to be just like me, Jesus gives us the down payment of the Holy Spirit so that what we will be starts filtering into our here and now. Now, none of us is going to be perfect in this until we see Jesus. But what Jesus has put inside of us in the Holy Spirit provides the basis and the means for us to make progress toward that. And the truth is, if we're not making progress toward that, we're missing out on something super important. We're missing the whole point of creation. We're missing the point of what the gospel actually redeems us to. We're missing the thing that is the most noblest of goals and ambitions. How is it possible, given all that Jesus has done, that we would be satisfied with that? We need to be more like Jesus. Not like we have the ability to do so in ourselves, but because the Holy Spirit has planted this ability within us, in our very being in which he came to dwell, because it's God's very desire, I would say his ultimate desire, the height of his desire, that we would be in the image of God, that we would be in the image of Christ, because this is so. This ought to be the one shining beacon that all of us strive to reach. If you want to know what you ought to be striving for as a Christian, this is it. Strive to be like Jesus. This is your mission. This is your goal. This is the aim of God for you. And to the end of accomplishing it, God has put his Holy Spirit in you. Let me ask you, friend, is that what you strive for? I mean, if you're looking at yourself and you would like to describe your experience as a Christian, who you are as a Christian, what moves you as a Christian? Is this what moves you? Is this what you are striving for? Is this the thing that drives you? I mean, there's a lot of things I've seen through the years that drive Christians. And some of them have nothing at all to do with what's in the heart of Jesus for them. Sometimes people want to get rich. Sometimes people want to get powerful. Sometimes people want to put one over on their neighbor. Sometimes people want this. Sometimes people want that. You know, it doesn't matter what people want. What matters is what God wants. And what God wants is for each and every one of us to look like Jesus. Progress is absolutely necessary. Now, I had asked at the beginning of my talk with you this morning, how long you've been saved? 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? Regardless of how long you might have been walking with Jesus, are you making progress? Are you seeing the transformation of your person more and more into the image of the person of Christ? Is that what you're seeing? If that's not what you're seeing, let me be bold enough just to say this to you. You need to make some changes. You need to make some changes. And what are those changes that you need to make? Well, I think that you've got to get on the same page with God. His chief aim and purpose in all of creation is creating a family of sons and daughters through through Christ Jesus, who looked just like him. That's the only reason that there is anything. You've got to get on the same page as God. You have to understand the purpose of your life is not whatever you thought the purpose might have been, and you have to change the purpose of your life to the purpose that God has for your life. The purpose that God has for your life is that you look like Jesus. We have to change some of our perspectives, some of our desires, and we have to get into the same perspective as God, and we have to come into the same desire as God for our lives. This is, you know, an exercise of faith. This is not going to be hammered into you as if the Holy Spirit was a blacksmith. That's really not what God is looking for. God's not looking to chisel out of rock something that he's pleased with. I mean, he is an artist, but that's not what his aim is. His aim is to give you life as he knows it, to have you receive it and walk in harmony with it, to walk in the fullness of it, to walk in the blessing of it. And I know we're limited in what we can do with all of that in the here and now, but ultimately, God's going to perfect all of that. And it means in the here and now, if we are people of faith, we embrace the promise from afar and start walking in it now. I think of all the people in the Old Testament, those famous patriarchs, and you know, all of them had tremendous promises from God. And all of them had to walk toward them, not having the perfection of those promises in their experience or their lives. And I think it's such a sad thing if as Christians we adopt the thought that it'll all be perfect in the by and by, right? I'll be different when I'm in heaven. God's intent is that you be different now. That's why you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. God's intent is that you be different now. Is that something that makes sense to you? Is that something that stirs your heart? Is that something inside of you that perhaps the Holy Spirit is pressing upon you even now? If it is, then today is a very good day. Today is a very good day to commit yourself to the very purpose of God in your life. Today is a very good day to say, my life has been a blur, but it needs to be focused. And it needs to be focused on this one thing above all others. It is my goal, it is my aim to cooperate with the Holy Spirit that God has given me and be transformed into the image of Christ. Is that something that you want to do today? Is it something in your mind that you can see is worth embracing and making your commitment for the days that will follow? I'm going to ask you to do something bold and brave, if it is. I'm going to ask you to do something that you've got to not be ashamed of at all. I'm going to ask you to just to do this, to stand where you are. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. Just stand where you are and make a commitment as you do that today is the day that you are going to commit to God's purpose in your life being transformed into the image of Christ. Will you stand with me? Is there anyone else? Don't be ashamed. I'm not going to call you to go walking or anything else. Just stand up where you are. Worship team, you can make your way up now if you'd like. And while they're coming up here, We're going to pray together. Let's bow our heads, if you would. Father in heaven, we are standing in this place because we understand what a wonder it is that you have given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're so thankful, Lord God, that you have not left us orphans. We're so grateful that you have not left us alone. You're with us. You'll never forsake us. You've put your Spirit within us. Thank you so much, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that because that is so, that from this very moment, from this very day, that we will no longer be people that are moving from opinion to opinion or stumbling from experience to experience or reaching for goal after goal. We pray, Lord God, from this day, we'll have a singularity of heart and mind. From this very moment, Lord God, we will have a laser focus in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives, that this is the one thing above all things that we will strive after, to be like Jesus. Lord God, your Bible says that transformation comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Transform us, we pray. In Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, lift up your hands to the Lord and say, amen.
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 Let's sing together about the basis from where we can strive forward.
All sufficient merit shining. Fortune I inherit by no work I have done. My righteousness I forfeit at my Savior's cross, where all sufficient merit did work. The Maker made to die. The law could never save us. Our lawlessness had won. Until the pure and spotless Lamb had for
patient, merit now my own. It is done, it is done, it is finished. No more debt I owe, paid in full, all sufficient, merit now my own. All sufficient upon my Jesus and thank Him for the cross. Yes, I'll thank You for the cross. It is done, it is finished. No more debt I owe, paid in full.
Seated. Oh, this has been good, right?
Yeah.
It has been good. I got a couple of announcements, but before I get into the announcements, things you might want to know. Steve, can you come on up here for a second? Just thinking about this as Steve was preaching. Some of the things he said, you might have to think about some more. There's a lot of good stuff that he shared today, and I know on Grace's website and Cornerstones, we'll have the live stream posted. Maybe other churches might tap it in too, but come on. This is one of the first pastors I met when I got to town, and him and John Studenroth. Is John here today? John, okay. Apparently he's not, but John's
heathen.
John is heathen. Okay, no, he's not. Strike that from the live stream. No, Steve is one of the first pastors I met when I got to Kutztown, and I was just thinking he just preached an entire message about the Holy Spirit, and he comes from an Assembly of God church that some people might label charismatic. I came from a very conservative Baptist church, and what we understood of charismatics were like, whoa, kooky people. This guy's not kooky, right? He just talked about the Holy Spirit, and most of you are like, yeah, he's right. So I think getting together like this helps blur the lines. Like, we're a lot more alike than we're different. And I realized getting to know my friend Steve and others that we're more alike than we're different. And I think that's important for us as God's church. So thank you for not being kooky. I appreciate you, brother. He's a lot smarter than I am, tell you what. Okay, so some announcements. I think we're going to do this again next summer. We do this twice a year. So if you want to come back, we'll let you know. But we're going to do this again next summer. And I didn't clear this with the board because there really is no board. We just had a group of pastors. But I'm pretty sure if Fleetwood Bible comes back, we're going to ask Pastor Drew to preach. So he'd have to say yes. But you guys have been here twice now and haven't had your pastor preach. So third time's the charm. So we're going to have Pastor Drew if you guys are back another year. But we're going to do this a couple times again next summer. I hope you guys come back. We also have this thing called One Night that some of you have been part of. These are just some things coming up, ways to come together as God's church. September 13th, you might want to write that down. September 13th is the next One Night. And it is not a Sunday, and it's not a Friday. It's not a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. Guess what day it is? It's a Saturday. You guys are listening. It's a Saturday. I don't know if we've ever done a Saturday night, so don't go on the wrong night. It's a Saturday night, 6 o'clock at the Fleetwood Park. That is going on September 13th, and that's kind of a continuation of things we've been doing. I also have some other announcements that came in sort of last minute. There is actually a concert tonight in Laureldale. This is a concert supporting Adult and Teen Challenge at Rosedale Camp Grove. Brad, where is Brad? Stand up, Brad. Stay standing. Don't you sit down. You stay right up there. So Brad has more details about that. If you want to get out to that concert tonight and have some more time, I think there's going to be testimonies and music, but that's at the Rosedale Camp Grove. See Brad for more information if you want more information about that. That's tonight. We have an offering box in the back. We don't pass a plate. If you want to give to your church, there are envelopes and pens. You can write a check. You can put cash. You put that in the box, and we promise we will get it to your treasure. We will get it where it needs to go. If you want to give, you can give. There's no special offering today. There's nothing special. Like we don't want to make this about money. It's really not. One night, they often have a cause that they give to, and you can give to that. We're not doing that today. But if you want to give to your church, you can. In the back, in the box, go for it. And also, today I want to pray before we close, as we close. Pastor Al, come on up. I'm really excited that this fall, Fleetwood Bible is starting something called The Wave. The Wave is a youth center for Fleetwood students, middle school students. It's starting this fall, similar to Oasis. Oasis has been going for several years, and most of you churches have been involved in some way investing in that ministry. And it's a multi-church ministry in Kutztown, which has been awesome. We're really excited about that. Is Tim Melker here? Tim. He was here earlier. Okay, I don't know where he is either. So anyway, he's the director of Oasis. But both Oasis and The Wave, if you have interest in investing in middle school students or high school students, you're here like, how do I get involved in that? Come talk to me afterwards, Pastor Marcos, right there. You can talk to that guy about The Wave. They have enough volunteers, but they're going to find out they probably want more, right? I'm pretty sure that's going to happen. They want more. So if you like kids and you love Jesus, talk to Pastor Marcos, talk to me, and we could definitely use some more volunteers at Oasis also. But this is a way God's church is serving this community, just loving the people here with Jesus kind of love. And so it's just really, really good stuff that's going on. So I've asked Pastor Al if he would pray for that ministry, and then we'll wrap up.
All right, what a pleasure it is to be with you this morning. And just to know that regardless of which church you attend, we all serve the same Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And so as we close today here, and we want to pray for these ministries, for what's going to be happening here with The Wave and that. And also our church has a Christian school. Yes. And so every year we do the battle of starting the school up. So we want to include that as we pray this morning. But what I'd like us to do this morning is all of us stand, and then I want you to hold your neighbor's hand, and then I want you to move across the aisle, because regardless of your church, regardless of your denomination, we are one in the Spirit of God, one in the Spirit of Christ. That's it. Oh, that looks so good. Does that feel good? Amen. Yeah. We have now joined in unity, and now I want you to look at a partner somewhere. And you say, I'm a walking epistle for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to go out and serve him in all these ministries. Father, we come together this morning and ask your blessing upon all that we're doing here. And we thank you, Father, for these ministries that are being provided to our community. As we need to reach our community is lost in so many, many ways. And Lord, so we need to reach our neighbors. We need to reach those across the street, those that we work with, whatever place it would be. But Lord, we ask your special blessing on these ministries that are starting up in the fall. And for this, we thank you. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, so the service is basically over, but you need to know, some of you got the memo that if you want to bring a picnic lunch and stick around, you can stick around all day long if you want. And if you did not bring a picnic lunch, you're like, oh no, there's tables full of food in the back. Baked goods, and there's strawberries, like produce and stuff. That's from Fleetwood Bible, thank you guys, and from Giant, their overstock or things like that. So help yourself. Let's empty that table of food. And if you want to hang out for a while, I brought my volleyball, so if anybody's up for volleyball, we'll be down on the sand courts. All right? Guys, thank you for being here. Have an awesome day.